Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, hey, welcome to the Rosecast. The showdown continues. And continues. And continues, AB. They got us hooked for two nights. Night one of two. By the time you hear this, both nights will have aired. AB, how you feeling so far about night one, episode five?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah?
Honestly. Yeah, it was better than I thought it was going to be.
You weren't offended by anything that took place?
You know, listen, you want to jump right into...
No, I don't actually.
Yeah, okay.
A little something called a tease. You'll have to stick around to the end.
Yeah.
So we got, you know, we saw it was more the same from some of the traditional characters. A lot of people were probably disappointed by the fact that Dean got little to no screen time. Dean the heartthrob, the Tiger Beat heartthrob. He was missing. A lot of Kenny and Lee. We'll talk about that down the line. And a lot of... Brian.
old suck face
McGee. That noise I made is not really the noise that Brian makes, because he has his mouth wide open the whole time. There's no I wouldn't classify what those two do as smooching. But anyway, AB, let's get right into it. Let's try to keep this, I don't know, under an hour 20.
Okay.
Would you say? I really don't want to spend the next 84 hours of my life doing bachelor stuff.
Listen, I can tell you that it's going to be under an hour, but that'd be a lie.
We say that every time. This is going to
be, it's going to be an hour and 45 minutes of pure content.
All right. Anyway, hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Let's do it. The group date. We're still in Hilton's Head, South Carolina. This is the tail end of last week's group date. And we start off with, like we said, a little bit of Kenny and Lee. Kenny pulls Lee aside. This is when there's a lot, they show a lot of other guys and not named Kenny and Lee, thankfully, mm-hmm. giving their opinions on them two kind of going at each other. One person I thought, aside from Will, who stood out, was Peter. Said, I know Kenny really wishes they could just, you know, talk about it like adults, but there's no talking to Lee.
This is the point where you realize, like, everyone hates this dude, Lee. And everyone really knows what's going on here with Lee in this house.
Everyone. They tried to make it seem like it was just, you know, confined to those two. But everyone who's watching is like, all right, we all know that Lee's a scumbag.
Yeah.
It's not sneaking by anybody. This isn't, the house is not split on whose side to take here. Before we get to their actual discussion, we got old sloppy seconds, old suck face Brian. Sitting in a docked sailboat with Rachel out in the dark. I feel like Brian's been on this earth long enough to where this is probably like the fourth or fifth time he shared a sailboat in the dark with a lady. I don't know about you.
Hey, Rim, when is your boy Brian going to say something of some substance?
Or say something that isn't like pre-written.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
it's the guy that brings like a written down rap to the freestyle rap. It's like, get the fuck out of here, Brian.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
We all know this is pre-written stuff. You've been thinking this whole time and it's written down and you haven't memorized.
He even admits that. So last time they talked, Rachel said Brian is so charming that it scares her. So what does he do, AB? He's on the airplane. He's like, I'm trying to write things down, thinking of how I could respond to that. That's the opposite of what you should do. Just tip a few back and let loose, Brian. Let the real Brian come out. Don't be this fucking fake Ken doll dripping, dipped in goop.
Listen, that's fine for your first impression. You got your first impression rose and all that.
A month and a half ago, yeah.
But move on to just being you. If there is even a you, I don't know. This guy, I'm out.
AB, I got a tease. Someone on Twitter last night sent me something. Let me know something was up about Brian.
A spoiler?
It's not a spoiler. The Twitter is RoseCastCS if you don't follow. But, AB, we're going to have at the end of this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about Brian off screen.
Ooh.
And we'll let you know when we're going to do it. So if you're some people I know are not interested in that kind of digging behind the scenes stuff. So we'll let you know when we're going to do it. But there's...
Wow.
I'll just leave it at that, folks. Anyway.
Can't wait.
let's a couple of Brian quotes. All right. You think I'm too good to be... And this is right after she said you're too slick, all right? Yeah. Just that context is important. You think I'm too good to be true for you, and I think you're too good to be true for me. Well, then it's very simple. I think we're a perfect match.
Boo.
Boo. Boo.
These lines would be rejected by, like, a romance novel publisher. They'd be like, no.
Erotic romance. Not even, this is a smut novel. Lines.
He talks like a guy from like a made up character in a, I can't even articulate this very well. When I was a kid, my sisters had this board game and it was like Teen Phone, and it was like, oh, Billy's calling, like, what's Billy saying? And then the Billy quote would be like, you and I are meant for each other, let's grow old together, type of nonsense for 13-year-olds.
Teen line.
And that's, I don't know what, I don't, yeah, teen line, something like that. It's like the phone game. I don't know what game it is. If you know what game it is, let me know. But that's what he talks like. He talks like a fake, like, Cosmopolitan article quote.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you, 100%.
Anyway, but hey, as gross as he is, AB, he's the one guy who's not been in any drama whatsoever. None.
He hasn't said anything outside of sleazeball lines. I haven't heard him talk besides that.
We'll talk more about him and his one-on-one date, but I don't want to say I'm disappointed, but it is surprising that Rachel is like, I don't
this
know.
This into him?
Kind of falling into the trap. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, this might be a trap, but I'm going to walk into it anyway. It's just a little surprising to me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, let's do Kenny and Lee on the deck. The first of many Kenny and Lee conversations, so we're not going to chat about it that long, but our guy Kenny speaking very calmly about his concerns with Lee. AB, what do you got on this kind of first of many embarrassing confrontations?
Lee is just so hard to talk to. I don't really know how he stood there and stayed so calm, honestly. It was a miracle. Most people, me included, would have slapped the grin off of Lee's face.
He's very slappable because he's like shoulder height. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, he's way short. You can like slap down on him, like,
give him a right hook.
Perfect angle for you to get full leverage on your slap.
Yeah. A little 5'7" ass Lee.
He's just provoking him.
He's provoking
the black man, Rim. Let's just call it what it is.
It's exactly what he's doing. Lee is everything Kenny says. He's like, oh, so you wanted to get violent. And then Kenny's like,
no,
I'm being very calm. Oh, so you're very violent. He kept calling him violent. Kenny was like, we're not doing this.
I'm not violent. I don't want to be violent right now, or else I'd throw you over this balcony.
to your bloody death. And no one would care, Lee. That's what he does. It's like, it's fucking mind games. He's like, oh, so you want to get violent? And Kenny basically is like, I want to kill you. Yes, like, you're right, but I'm not going to do anything. So you can't really pin that on me. A couple of my favorite quotes. Kenny calls him a dime store psychologist. When I was a kid in Kansas City, there was a store called The Dime Store, and it was just fucking knickknacks. So dime store psychologist was very funny to me. Kenny also said, if I wanted to be aggressive, like, everyone would know. Well, I can show you aggressive, basically. Which, again, borderline threat, but, you know, I was okay with it.
Listen, Kenny, for all how calm Kenny gets, He also let you know that it could get serious in a matter of seconds in almost threatening ways.
That's what makes him the perfect target for Lee. If you were doing this against like Will or Josiah, I mean, Lee's or Kenny's got 65 pounds on those guys like his job is like fake violence, right? Mm-hmm. So he's the perfect target.
Oh yeah, for sure.
All right, group date, Rose. Old Brian, old Mr. I'm trying to think of appropriate things to say that aren't like too sexual. Old Mr. Anyway, Brian, you know who we're talking about. And you think, oh, okay, Remini B, going to talk more about Brian? No, this is about Kenny and Lee again, because Kenny gives Brian some dap. And AB, he gives this little speech, which I was taking notes or something, so I didn't realize I thought this was to the camera, but he said this in front of everybody.
No,
he gave a speech.
Said it to everybody. Kenny congratulates the dude, says good job getting the rose, and then he goes into, it's very important not to be a bitch-ass dude. That is one very important thing in life for him.
Just saying, it's very important, something to keep in the back of your mind at all time. Don't be a bitch-ass dude. It's words to live by, which Lee pops up with a quick, fuck you. Yeah.
Then Kenny comes with, you'd be a stain on that couch, which I've never heard that before. I've never heard, but I loved it.
Lee responds with, oh, so you're threatening me again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be kind to you. Lee, you just said fuck you a half a second ago. One sentence prior is what you said. Anyway, so these two go back and forth a little bit. Kenny whispering, which was funny in the promo, Lee, you're a bitch. Says he's gonna shit in his cowboy boots. But now the cowboy boots comment, probably not the smartest thing to say when you know that he's just gonna tell Rachel.
Yeah, he's gonna snitch out. I mean, you gotta stay a little cooler than that, Kenny. But hard to do when someone's saying fuck you right to a dude that you know you could absolutely powerbomb through the table that you're sitting at, and he's telling you to fuck you. No, I don't play that.
Kenny, like we've said this whole season, rocking a hard place. He's got to balance like protecting his manhood and defending himself against this kind of open secret racist snake. He's got to balance all that with, oh yeah, I'm here for Rachel, which is easy to forget amidst all this chaos sometimes. So Kenny's in a tough spot. I don't envy Kenny one bit.
I thought it was funny when Kenny also said, I wish Lee's dad had instilled a little more manhood in him. But maybe he just said, nah, that's a bitch. I'm good.
I have a feeling Lee's dad did instill this in him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that's going too far out on a limb to make that claim.
No.
Okay, AB, do you want to move on to, and I mean this with all sincerity and not an ounce of exaggeration, the most awkward 10 minutes I've ever seen on this show? The one-on-one date with Jack Stone.
I call it the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen.
I couldn't watch.
I've never been more embarrassed for someone.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Let's dive right in though.
We called it. Did we not call it? I mean, I called it. I said this guy's going home.
Yeah. And I said that he's the type of guy you do not want to be caught in a room alone with because the conversation would be so bad. Remini B hit it on the head.
Hit it out of the park. And the way he looks at people is so weird. Jack Stone, like I said, his face is facing down at a 45-degree angle and his eyes are looking up, which is just an inherently creepy way to look at people, whether you mean to or not. Just take any random screenshot when Jack's on the screen and he's going to look weird.
He's also always like cranking his neck in weird directions and stuff. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about it. From the moment Jack Stone walks up, it is clear that Rachel just takes a deep breath and is like, just try to get through this day. She's going to play along as long as she can. Jack fires off a quick joke about how the houses are probably... This was our first hint that this was going to be a disaster of a date. They're riding on horseback, some carriage thing, in some old South Carolina neighborhoods, and he makes a joke about how they're haunted. You know, a harmless joke. Full disclosure, I might have made the same joke. And she could barely stomach. She was like, no, no, they're not. I don't think that. Maybe these two are both attorneys who live in Dallas, and yet they have absolutely no chemistry whatsoever. Zero. None. The least amount of chemistry I've ever seen on a one-on-one date.
It's bad. It's bad.
Why do you think Jack seems to think they're like the hottest couple in the game? Like, he thinks they're like Jay-Z and Beyonce. Like, can't believe, like, finally we're together, just showing everybody what we're about. I'm like, Jack, nobody else thinks like this.
Nobody thinks this, Jack. I don't know. Guy's delusional.
You got anything? I mean, honestly, I couldn't watch most of this date. I was cringing too hard. I was watching through my fingers.
So they first went to the dancing place, and Jack Stone obviously was the worst dancer I've ever seen.
Not even close.
Easily. Not even close. His feet aren't moving. He's just standing there. Rachel needs a good dancer in her life. That's one thing I know.
After the dancing disaster, he says it was just really hard to focus in there. Did you notice? I kept staring at you. And then they go, how did this date not end at this moment when he went in for a kiss and right before, you know, as his descent begins, she goes, you're going to get sick.
You just kissed a bunch of other dudes like yesterday, Rachel. I mean, that's the oldest trick in the book to not kiss someone.
Well, I almost thought that she was saying you're going to get sick because she's implying that she just kissed a bunch of other dudes and like whatever those dudes have, she's going to spread around. You know what I mean?
I think she was saying she was sick. That's what I got from it.
Who knows? All I know is that's on the Mount Rushmore of I don't want to kiss you excuses.
She turned away multiple times away from his kiss. And he eventually snuck a little peck in. Ugh.
That peck, AB, he said, it's been a really long time since I've had a first kiss feel that way.
Oh, God.
Feel like what? Like a fucking great-grandma trying to smooch an in-law? Like your wife's great-grandma? Tried to kiss you on the lips. That's what it was like. If he were the great grandma, yeah. What is he talking about?
You can't have a shorter kiss, a shorter worse kiss. So you're telling me that was one of the better kisses you've had?
I don't know how many millions of people were watching, but 40% of them were covering their eyes while you were doing it, Jack. So I don't know where was there an off-screen kiss that we didn't see. What kiss are you talking? It couldn't have been that one. The one where she said, please don't kiss me. Essentially, she said, please stop. Like, don't kiss me. Do you think Jack Stone is truly delusional, or do you think, I mean, he's just playing up. He's putting on the, putting out the vibe that he's more successful than he is on the show. I mean, I don't know. Like, why is he saying these things that are just so far out of the realm of reality?
Let's get the feeling he's a little dorky, a little corny. He's obviously awkward. He's the social norms just aren't there with him.
Have we seen Jack Stone's body? Did we see it at any point?
I'm sure we did, but it was probably. Probably in the background.
Probably what?
Probably in the background. I didn't notice.
Okay. All right. Fucking back at the house. Thank God. I've never been so excited for a back at the house.
Needed this.
Lee and Will. The man. Will the man. Good guy, Will.
Try telling y'all about Will.
Will had the episode of his career, I'd say. Triple-double from Will.
Mm-hmm.
Will has given Lee the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Do you have any issue with that, AB? He seems to be saying Lee is saying things. Lee doesn't know what he's saying because his background, he's a little ignorant because of where he's from type of thing. Are you okay with the way Lee is? And do you agree with it, Will?
I don't agree, knowing what I know now, I don't agree with him, but I could see why he would think that. So I got no issues with what Will said. He was just trying to educate Lee on the issues. And Lee already knew all this, and he knew exactly what he was doing, so.
It didn't put a dent in Lee's worldview.
No.
I mean, so the education you're talking about, he says, I can understand why Kenny would be upset. When you call him aggressive, this is Will talking to Lee. When you call him aggressive, there's a long-standing history in this country of calling black men aggressive to justify other things. Now, that potential, you know, teachable moment could be a turning point in someone who may be truly ignorant, meaning doesn't know any better, might be a turning point in that life. But Lee goes, oh, here we go. Black guy telling me what's going on. Speech.
Here comes the race card.
Yeah.
Listen, people that say, like, here comes the race card, usually are people that are trying to defend something racist.
Okay, well, about flat out. About halfway through, Lee starts, you know, rolling his eyes, and he goes, so Will says, hey, you know, maybe be a little more sensitive, be careful with the words you choose.
Something very reasonable.
Like, you don't have to like Kenny, but maybe don't call him aggressive, yeah. You know, or, like, portray him as scary black man, because that's not entirely true, and you're going about it the wrong way. Like, mm-hmm. That's basically what Will said.
Yeah.
Lee's response is, so he's the guy that gets mad and plays the race card and tries to get away with everything he does because he can't control himself. Like, no, it's like not at all what Will's saying.
Nope.
Quick question, AB. Now, how frequently, how often does playing the race card get you out of a situation? Lee seems to think that playing the race card is like a get out of jail free card. I'm like, I don't often see it work out that way. What do you think?
Never in my life, Rib.
Okay. All right. Just want to double check with you.
Oh. There's a situation. I need to pull out the race card to get out. I need to pull out my black card to get out of this. No, it's never that.
No, it's never that. Like, does Lee think that Kenny gets away with everything in his life because he's pulling out? And by the way, Kenny's not pulling a race. Kenny's not in the room. Like, Will's the one saying this stuff.
Well, the thing about people that say things about race cards is, like, why would I want to bring up racism? Like, I just don't understand that mindset. Why would you think that that would just be something that I would use to get out of things?
Beats me, AB. I mean, we're dealing with a pea brain here, AB, so I can't explain Lee's rationale.
Yeah.
But we agree. I mean, Lee is not ignorant. A lot of people online and in Bachelor Nation, I suppose, are calling Lee ignorant. I don't think Lee is ignorant. No. He knows exactly what he's doing. Ignorance implies he doesn't know any better.
He
right?
said it explicitly that he enjoys making people mad. And he knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing.
All right. Well, that's that for now. But I guess we have to. I mean, we have a duty here, AB. The people rely on us to recap this show in a funny and a way that's equal parts humorous and sincere. So, with that said, we have to talk about the one-on-one date nighttime with Jack. We don't want to. I don't want to talk about this. It's making me feel weird. I feel awkward just thinking about this and talking about it. Reading my notes makes me feel uncomfortable, but we have to do it. At this point, we know he's toast. I mean, there's no way he's making it through the night.
No, Rachel keeps coming on camera and is like, I just don't feel it with this guy. She keeps saying that.
The romance is missing.
Missing.
AB.
It's not there.
For as much as she gets romance from Brian, the opposite end of the spectrum is Jack, whom she can't, I mean, she doesn't even want to touch, like hold hands with.
Rim, this is one of them dates that, you know, when a girl goes and they're like, they tell their friend, like, I'm going to call you if it goes bad and you get me out of this date. You're like, you make up something. And call me back, and then I'm going to act like I need to go. Like, yeah, that was emergency. The situation that she would have done that immediately when they sat down at the table.
Great point. I'm surprised that didn't actually happen during the
table.
I got a call, like, talking to the producers. I can't do this date. Can you just send him home? Just, like, not let him go back to the house, please? Thank you. I mean, the entertaining part of it, well, the entertaining or awkward, however you want to look at it, is Jack going on and on about how comfortable he is around her and how well they mesh. Meanwhile, Rachel is totally dead behind the eyes. I mean, God bless her for putting on at least a fake smile a little bit. What do you got on? Jack was talking about her dad a little bit. I mean,
Jack starts to say about how he feels he really knows her dad. And she's like, no, you don't know him. You haven't met him. How would you know him? He wasn't even on this. He wasn't even on her season of or Nick's season of Bachelor.
No, literally no one knows her dad.
You have never seen him, and neither have any of us.
I feel like I get him, though. That's when the music turns ominous, AB. That's when the music's like almost kind of jokey horror film music. Yep. The scary piano. What do you got on Jack's?
Speaking of horror films,
it's
Rim.
Fucking uncomfortable, AB.
Speaking of horror films, Rim. Jack's ideal scenario with Rachel.
He what says, a weird guy.
If I were to do an ideal day with you, we'd go in a room. I'd lock the door. And we'd talk all night.
All right, Rip.
The first thing he says, she's like, what do you mean you want to go back to Dallas? He's like, I'd lock the door. That's like right where he zoomed to locking the door. I mean, what kind of serial killer shit is that? Why do you need to lock the door in any situation?
I put down, Jack, are you trying to date Rachel or wear her skin?
Imagine going into a room with Jack and then him going locking the door like,
oh, God.
And then him turning around and looking at you with those eyes and doing that grin. I mean, I would shriek in fear. I'd start yelling for help if I were in that room.
An absolute nightmare scenario for Rachel.
Nightmare. Well, that was the end of the line.
Yeah.
Rachel, she's not going to do this anymore. This was the best part to me. Rachel says something about, she gives a little speech about why she looks for like an X factor, an unexplainable kind of connect. What she means is like, I want to have a physical connect. I want to be attracted to you, which she's not with Jack, among other things. And Jack is totally oblivious. He doesn't realize that she's talking about not having a connection with you, Jack. He goes, if you have a connection, you have a connection. If you don't, you don't. And he's smiling like, who are you going to let? I think he thinks that Rachel's about to tell him that she's going to let go of some other guy. I mean, she's talking about you. It's obvious.
You blew it.
And then she picks up the rose, which normally I don't like that move, but I liked it here because just twist the knife in this guy. I don't care. She picks up the rose and Jack is going on and on about how great of a day they had. He's like, I just enjoyed it so much more than I didn't expect it, all this stuff. And she's like, Jack, I just want to be like, Jack, you're not getting the rose. AB, were you surprised that Rachel had such a tough time letting go of this creepazoid?
I think she was putting on an act, Rim. You think she really cared? She talked to him like one other time and then had one of the worst dates of all time.
I think she cared in that she felt bad about having to send home a nice guy. I mean, obviously he's a fucking weirdo and they wouldn't be friends in real life, but he was a nice guy, good intentions, and she felt bad about that. And she found that hard. So when she got choked up, I don't think she was crying like, I'm never going to see Jack Stone again. I think it was her realizing like, holy shit, this is going to be really hard when I have to send someone home that I actually give a shit about.
That's a fair point.
She did it. It ain't Jack.
It's a really good point.
All right, and thus ends literally the most awkward. I mean, that's got to be it for the season, right? There can't possibly be anything more awkward than that.
No. No way.
I'm trying to think of who's left and if it could.
I mean, if like old man Matt got a date, that awkward, but it'd be bad. It'd be a bad date.
That would at least be two adults talking, whereas Jack and Rachel was an adult and a potential serial killer talking. Jack Stone, lock the door? I mean, that's like Room. Have you seen the movie Room? I mean, that's like Jack's one of those guys. I feel like Jack's got some hostages somewhere or something. Some prisoners. Just kidding. Don't sue us. All right, back at the house. Thank God. So Rachel decides to skip the cocktail party after she sends Jack home. So just to recap, one of Remini's biggest gripes is the fact that fucking cocktail parties are never at the end of episodes, ever, and might not ever be again. This one wasn't even at the beginning of an episode, AB. It was 40 minutes in.
We're all fucked up now.
Well, I mean, there's no coming back from this.
No.
Before we get to the roses, my favorite quote so far of the episode comes from Iggy. It says, I think that people who have been causing drama in the house are not going to be sticking around. I hope I'm not included in that bunch. So we'll just let that sit, I guess. Absolutely, you're included in that bunch.
Who else would be included?
All right, roses. Eric, Peter, Adam, Will, the man, Matt, Alex, Josiah, Anthony,
Big Ant.
Kenny, Big Ant, Kenny, after doing a little snake motion. I mean, Kenny... I mean, come on, you're 35.
The snake motion was unnecessary, and I hope she didn't see that.
I saw her tweet, and she said she was tweeting about it last night. She said not only did she see it, she knew exactly what he meant by it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she gives a rose to Lee anyway, so you know that that was producer.
Wow.
I guess my issue with this is it comes down to Lee, Iggy, and Tickle Monster, and we all know that Lee and Kenny have the 2-on-1 because of the promos. So the rose ceremony has zero, there's nothing tense about it. You know what
I
mean?
It's one of my biggest pet peeves in reality TV is when they give away something you almost can't watch. Like there's certain shows you almost can't watch what's coming up next or else it's going to spoil some episodes for you.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Iggy and Tickle Monster went home. Tickle Monster stayed true to his gimmick to the very end, AB. I didn't expect the old Tickle thing at the very end. Got a big laugh, though.
Got a big laugh, and he got a "I'm gonna miss you so much" out of Rachel. So much.
What I'm AB, I've been saying it. Tickle Monster is a good dude. The nickname got a bad rap. Like, he's a nice guy. They were never gonna be together, but you know, funny guy. Brought the hands around. Like, she's got to deal with like all this drama queen and all this whining and all the racism, and then fucking Tickle Monster comes through with the big, you know, puffy hands jokes, and that's fun. You know, she likes Tickle Monster.
Why didn't she keep him around over Matt and Adam then?
Matt's a good guy. Adam, no idea. None. Adam just hasn't had screen time the whole season.
Neither has Matt, really.
Yeah, I know. Bums me out. I like Matt, though. Iggy has kind of a, I don't know, quarter life crisis, would you say? Third life crisis?
I would say he was devastated.
He realized at that moment, like, hey, maybe I shouldn't have talked to her about other dudes the whole, yeah, you know, in our limited time together. Maybe that wasn't the best strategy.
It's really unfortunate. He just came in with the completely wrong strategy, and it's almost like he never watched the show. It was so obvious what he was doing wasn't going to work.
All right, AB. They go to Oslo, Norway. Looks dope as hell. Locations are on point this season so far.
Rim, I'm not in on the cold stuff.
Yeah, cold is kind
of
whack.
Nick went to a bunch of cold places. Take me somewhere tropical. If I'm going on The Bachelor, I want them to take me somewhere tropical.
It's a good point. They have been going to a lot of cold places. Nick spent like a month and a half in Finland.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're not in Norway that long. I didn't mind it. Norway's got that mild climb, that temperate climb. I'm talking about my ass if you can't tell. Anyway, one-on-one date with who else but big man on campus, Brian.
What'd you think about Dean saying he wouldn't be surprised if Brian didn't come back?
I mean, he got flamed for that insolence. Yeah. The guys were like, what are you talking about?
Dean, actually, that would be one of the most surprising things I could think of that's ever happened in my life.
I mean, now, Dean apologists, that was a stupid, stupid thing to say, but he is pretty, like, perceptive for a 25-year-old. Like, he knows that Brian's confidence might turn into overconfidence and then maybe eventually bite him in the butt. But, that said, he's 100% coming back.
I can't think of anything that would be more stunning than Brian not coming back from this date.
I mean, if he comes back with anything, it might be, like, fucking positive pregnancy tests. That's the only thing you got to worry about, Dean. That's much more likely to happen than Brian not coming back, being sent home. Please. Did you catch this? Brian was kind of, they were talking on the bus. I don't know why they took public transportation, but they did. Brian said, I feel like we've barely even talked about, you know, the basics.
Yeah, I'm fucking with you, Brian.
Maybe don't suck the tongue out of her throat every chance you get and get to know her a little bit.
I thought that was strange because he still never got into anything this entire episode. Nothing deep.
Well, they didn't have much time because before you know it, they're fucking rappelling down a 180-foot cliff.
So what's the deal with this, though, Rim? Was this a they said it's an Olympic ski jump?
Yeah.
But it was 180 feet in the air or something. What's the deal?
No, you dipshit. That's the starting point.
Oh.
That's where they start at. They go down that ramp and then they shoot up. Yeah, I guess they didn't really show it very well, but yeah.
No, they didn't. I'm like, what the fuck is this thing?
So where they were standing is like the platform. You know what I mean? That you start.
So they rappelled from the start.
Yeah, they rappelled off the backside.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you now. Makes sense.
Yeah, they didn't have much sound to talk. Now, me, not a heights guy. I'd go so far as to say I flat out wouldn't do this. And if that meant I got sent home, then that would be my fate. If you don't love me because I don't want to do this, then we're not meant to be together.
This one made me really nervous, too. Like, they had to do the work of rappelling themselves. I don't know. Hit the wrong lever, falling 180 feet, Rim.
To your death.
Yeah.
This isn't like, they didn't make it seem scary enough. You know what I mean? Like, they really should have played up that they could die. I mean, it's one thing to play handball for the first time or like ride a horse and you've never ridden a horse before. This was like one bad move and you're dead.
They're acting like he needed to conquer a fear or something. No one can conquer that fear, you know.
Of heights?
That high. Like, that's... Yeah. Don't you think that's scary to everybody? Who would be okay with this?
Dude, no, there's people out there who are... there's a lot of the people who rappel for fun, for pleasure and leisure.
True.
Have you read about this guy who, these guys, these free climbers who climb up fucking the sides of cliffs that are like 500 feet high with no harnesses or anything, and they just stick their fingers in the cracks and shit, and that's what they do to get off? I mean, that shit is crazy.
I don't get it.
Anyway, well, what do you know? About a fifth of the way down. I mean, they're just getting started, okay? Brian requests a kiss, AB. What is with this guy?
I'm gonna be honest though, Rim. When they first started doing this, I'm like, this would be a once in a lifetime kissing opportunity.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was good. It was good. This is jealousy for me. It was good. It was good. Super romantic. They get to the bottom, make out. I mean, she loves him. We got a boyfriend girlfriend situation on our hands. Yeah. I don't know if you could tell. Rachel had a quote after they make it back to Earth that I think will probably end up being a hefty bit of foreshadowing. This is why I think Brian is too good to be true. He's devastatingly handsome, which is true.
True.
And a great way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
He's 37, great job, well-educated, and so sweet and sincere. I don't get it. I don't understand how he's still single. He's such a catch. I don't get it. Well, I mean, you think something's up, Rachel?
What do you think? You think something might be going on here where there's smoke, there's fire? I don't know.
I mean, we got a perfect guy who's mad old.
He's so old.
And you're wondering what the problem, wondering if there's a problem, and you can't find the problem. I mean, you need to take a step back. Maybe stop falling down his pit. I mean, by that, I mean his lips.
And he's also, like, not really about getting into the relationship stuff. He's more about
surface
making out and surface, yeah, surface talk.
I mean, there are red flags, Rachel. Yeah. There are flaws. Do you know where he's from? Does he know your last name? Has he asked you anything about your family? No.
Well, sad.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Back at the house.
Big Ant.
Big Ant dropping knowledge darts.
Big Ant. You can tell, like, this episode, you really got a glimpse into the house, and it's that everyone respects the shit out of Big Ant and Will.
Yes. Yes.
Let me come to you with some real problems that I'm having and get some actual advice from you, Big Ant.
Big Ant is, I mean, he's a steady hand in the house with Eric, who's always freaking out. Eric, a lost little boy.
Yeah.
And Big Ant, seen it all, done it all. AB, what do you got on this conversation? Kind of an interesting little dip our toes into the race discussion from a different perspective. What do you got on Eric and Ant?
So, I'm actually a little humiliated that we didn't find this faster. That she hadn't gone on a one-on-one with anyone but besides Big Ant. Seems like something we would have caught on.
Well, I think one-on-one with any black guys other than Big Ant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think... Yeah, probably just wanted to dance around. I mean, I knew. I saw what was happening. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to offend you or anybody else. I mean, yeah, she's... So they talk about how in 5 one-on-one dates... Big Ant is the only black guy she's taken on a one-on-one date.
And like half the guys are black. still.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And one of those guys was Jack, so she might just really hate. I mean, she took Jack before she took some of these other guys. But, I mean, do you understand Eric's theorizing, or are you more on Ant's side? Ant made a lot of sense to me. The white guy.
Ant dropped some real good knowledge. And it's that he needs to quit looking at them as a combined person or group. They aren't all interchangeable. And Ant's basically like, don't lump me in with all these other fucking trifling black dudes. Also.
Well, I mean, you think about it. So if you, now we're not used to doing this, but let's take race out of it, AB.
Mm-hmm.
Not really our thing, but we'll try it one time. She fucking connected with Brian physically immediately. She fell for Peter also pretty quickly. Okay, so that's two of the five one-on-one dates. Jack Stone was a third one-on-one date, which I think was a producer pick for comedy and awkwardness. So I don't even count him. So we got two of four one-on-one dates. Anthony was three of four. And then I don't even know who the fourth one was. Who was the other?
Dean.
Okay, and she fucking loves Dean too. So those four guys were excluding Jack Stone. I mean, you can't – who – what of the black guys that she hasn't been on a one-on-one date with would she
have a better connection right now?
Have a better connection with than any of those four. Like, honestly. Like,
one of the people she actually did have a connection with one of the black guys, DeMario,
yeah,
got caught up in some mess and got booted off. So one of the top, you know, connections from the first couple nights is gone, you know?
I mean, you could make an argument for Will ahead of maybe
– yeah.
Maybe Dean, but – I don't know. What we're saying here is it's a small sample size, folks.
Mm-hmm. Very small.
If there were 1,000 contestants, 500 black, 500 white, and she went on 400 one-on-ones with white guys and 5 one-on-ones with black guys, you'd have an argument. You'd have a real case to be made.
Yeah.
But we're just talking about a couple people here, you know? I mean, one guy of one race will totally flip the fucking percentages on their heads. So chill out, Eric. Chill out.
Big Ant was right. Rim and AB side with Big Ant. But we're going to keep our eye on it. I'll tell you that. We'll keep our eye on it.
We're fucking watching you, Rachel. Anyway, back to Brian. Rachel, still concerned. This is going to be the Brian storyline, I think, until the very end. I think he's going to go very far, and I think this is going to be the storyline throughout. He's too perfect. He's too charming. I think she's about to get played. Whether she chooses him or not, she's going to get played at some point in her life.
With you.
They talk a little bit about how Rachel was a late bloomer, kind of in the shadow of her older sister. And, oh, poor Brian was only 6'4", 200 instead of 6'4", 230 as a junior in high school. Oh, I'm skinny and I had acne. Mm. Fucking who cares? Which was like 1996, by the way.
I was going to say, so Rachel is saying about how they never talk about anything. And then really the only thing they talk about that's remotely past the surface is Brian brings up high school, which was 20 years ago for him. Irrelevant. That's an irrelevant time period at this point.
I mean, he's lived more years since then than he lived up to that point.
He's such a different person, and that's so irrelevant and not, and basically surface level.
He does try to go a little deeper. He brings up this 4-year relationship that he had a few years ago. But I gleaned nothing from it.
I was confused.
He just like said he was in a relationship, but then he ended it and that was it. Like, we don't know any of the details, why it ended. She didn't seem too interested.
And then he says like he looked at himself and figured some stuff out after that. So it took him till he was 36 to figure, I don't know. Number one, what happened with that 4-year relationship? He didn't really explain.
They could have been married for all we know. He could have a kid. Listen, Brian has something that is bad, we're not seeing it. Okay, I mean, whether it's, you know, physical skeletons in his closet or you know, figurative ones, mm-hmm. there's something going on. Brian is too good to be true, Rachel. You understand that?
Yeah. Yep. Brian even says he's falling in love with her.
No, maybe he says, I'm truly falling in love with you. Like, just, it's not a line.
And then he then says, it was very hard for him to say. Now, I don't know about you, Rim, but it seemed extremely easy for his slick ass to say.
I would have to agree. Nothing is hard for him to say.
No.
He'll say whatever it takes. But, you know,
Every time we talk about Brian, we roast him for being the slick slimeball sleazebag. And then we have to end it with, oh, by the way, Rachel's basically in love with him and there's nothing that can be done to stop it.
Then they pan to Rachel and she is smitten.
She said, I can't believe that he went all the way out there today. Well, if you can't believe it, if it's unbelievable, then maybe just take a step back. It's a sign, Rachel. The guy's hitting all the right notes. He's pushing all the right buttons. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, is Rachel not as smart? I almost don't even want to say this, but is she not as smart as we thought? Maybe what is going on
no,
in her mind?
No, she's smart. She's just wrapped up in the amazing kisses.
Are they that amazing, though? I mean, they're if anything's aggressive in this house, it's his mouth, Brian's mouth.
But she's not backing away, Rim.
I don't know if I would either. Anyway, I don't know. I thought for sure that if she were to encounter some fake smooth operator bullshit act, she'd see right through it. But she doesn't. Sad. Okay, B, back at the house. Group date, blah, blah, blah. Who cares who's on it? Obviously, we know that Kenny and Lee get the 2-on-1, so another anticlimactic moment in the house. Handball group date, daytime. Adam, Dean, Anthony, Peter, Matt, Will, Alex, Eric, Josiah. Obviously, Kenny and Lee not here to join in the fun. FYI, Lee would suck at handball. He'd get dominated out there. I think that goes without saying. AB, handball is life. Do you want to get into handball? That looked like a blast.
Listen, I've played handball before.
Kind of handball?
Yeah. In middle school gym class, we had a handball unit, and it was crazy fun. It's as fun as it looks, Rim.
That looked extremely
fun. Yes, I would like to get involved.
My first question is, why the fuck are they wearing wrestling singlets when the professional handball players are wearing shorts and t-shirts?
That's just Rachel. You know she wants to see those bodies.
You know, hey, say what you want about, hey, Rachel, smart girl, accomplished, on a good path in life. But at the end of the day, she also just wants to see some fucking rock hard bods. I mean, who can blame her? Who can blame her? So Alex and Will are the two guys that have played handball. Uh-huh. But the majority of these guys basically learn handball in one afternoon, and 10 minutes later, they're what appear to be, now I'm just a novice observer, but they appear to be among the best in the world, AB. No. No. This goes back to our take about how if American athletes played soccer, they would be the best in the world. I mean, do you agree that basically Will would be the best handball player in Norway? Like,
he was doing all the stuff that the Olympic guys were doing, can do, so...
Jumped higher than everybody else. Yeah. He threw harder. Josiah was goalie and thought it was a good idea to block every shot that Rachel took. Do you agree with that strategy?
Listen, Rim, we can't let Rachel slide by here. She has a weak noodle arm.
That's true.
What was he going to do? Let him? She's not looking for a guy that lets her win either. You think she's that type of girl? Nah.
No.
She's got a weak arm.
I probably would have blocked all the shots too, but Josiah was fucking like Dikembe Mutombo, like pounding them out of the way. Like, just catch it, you know what I mean? And roll the ball and say, yeah, maybe next time, you know, play a little both sides.
She throws like a wuss though, Rim. Devil's advocate.
She does. She does. Like, if you want to play with the guys, like, yeah. It's the old people talking about Serena Williams these days. Listen, Serena, you're great. Maybe probably the best, one of the best athletes of all time. But if you play against the boys, they're not going to take it easy on you. They're going to kick your ass. a little topical chatter from Rim and AB. Where would you rank Will among the great athletes of our era, AB?
Well, Rachel compared him to Jordan in the 97 finals, one of the iconic performances of our lifetime. So, and I heard her say that and I'm like, yeah, he's fucking got the team on his back right now.
Well, she said that and then they showed a couple of shots of his. The last one, he just like from half court, like leapt into the air and fired it into the corner with precision. I mean, he was worthy of that praise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Group date nighttime. Rachel, knowing that she's in the presence of greatness, an all-time great, pulls Will aside first. What did you think about, you know, Will and Rachel's conversation? I think one of the first time in at least a couple weeks that we've seen those two chat one-on-one.
Rim, do not sleep on Will. Don't do it. This guy's a player in the game.
Okay, a player in the game. Like, he's got a chance is what you're
saying. Yeah, he's got a shot. Okay.
Well, hey, they had a good convo, we thought. More importantly, little makeout session in a dark little corner. Shout out to Will, not putting on a show for the cameras like Brian. Just wants to show some affection on the side in the dark. I was a fan of that. Let's run through these three guys. Alex, Matt, and Eric. Alex, he read like a fucking story.
I don't think he can read, honestly.
Well, then how do you think he was? What do you mean? He was looking at words on a paper and then he read.
I didn't think he could read or write before he did this.
Well, there's no video evidence of him writing, so it might have been somebody else that wrote it, and then he just read it. And it was very bizarre because it wasn't a poem, maybe. It was a story about what he was literally reading what other people say normally. Matt took some lyrics. I mean, Matt was on screen for a half second, but it looked like he had some sort of music lyrics embroidered.
Did he stitch something for her rim?
I mean, if he did, that would be better than getting it stitched, I suppose. But it appeared to be a Crown Royal pouch. I don't know if you know. It was like a blue velvet with like yellow stitching. I don't know if you noticed that. It wasn't the best. And then fucking God knows what Eric's talking about, but he got his hug. Good for you, Eric.
Get your hug.
Josiah, AB, I don't remember, but the last time you and I spoke, you were kind of team Josiah, right? You thought Josiah was a good dude, funny at the very least.
I don't know what happened.
Well, I was right. That's what happened.
Sometimes it's just not working for you at some nights, Rim.
This is how he always is, though.
Not this bad. This was bad.
Well, because she called him out for the first time.
She called him out, and then he just kept saying the same bullshit.
So first, a couple of the best lines. Your beauty just radiates from your core.
Come on, man.
He wants to grow old with you. All the old tired bullshit. But basically, he's been saying since day one. Then the nonsense. And then Rachel finally says,
"Cut the shit.
Why don't you ever ask any questions about me? You know what I mean?" And what was his response? I mean, what a weird response.
He said, "You're so perceptive and smart."
He's like, "That's a good point."
You're just so smart, Rachel.
You caught me. I don't care about you. I'm just doing lines. I mean, he sounded like fucking Tim Meadows doing the ladies' man. That's what he was doing. She's like, "Hey, Josiah, why don't you care about anything that's going on in my life?" And he's like, "You're right, girl."
It was almost like they were having different conversations. Like, it wasn't registering with him what she was saying.
I mean, can you agree? Josiah's as good as gone. Probably next episode, right? Next rose ceremony.
He's on his way out. Yeah.
No doubt.
For some reason, Josiah thinks his talk went really well, though.
Let's go to Peter, someone who's actually got a shot. They talk for a bit. They go outside. They kiss. Mm-hmm. In that moment, Peter almost, he had a chance to really separate himself from Brian, the physical only man. He said, "I want to keep kissing you." She says, "Well, do it." He says, "No, no, no. We have so much ground to cover." I respected that, AB.
Wow, yeah. That was good stuff.
But 2 minutes later, they're in a fucking hot tub.
Hot tub, and hands are going all over the place, Rim.
AB, that shit got fucking hot and heavy.
Holy cow.
Is this unprecedented? You've been watching the show a lot longer than I have. Is this unprecedented on a group date?
The hand.
Hot and heavy.
The hand movements. Oh my God. I mean, feeling her up and down.
All over her body. Period. It was front and back, side to side.
On a one-on-one date? I mean, how much time do you think this literally took? They had to change. They had to get their microphones off. They had to
turn the hot tub on. Like, the hot tub probably wasn't on.
Turn the hot tub on, get the jets going. They then got in, made out for like 15 minutes or whatever, hands all over the place.
At least.
Oh my God. And then they had to get out, put makeup back on. Don't forget about that. Redo the hair. Everyone's going to get hair and makeup done. This is a three-hour ordeal. While the other guys were just sitting there with their thumbs up their asses.
Folks,
You're saying they had to put makeup under their hair, and you're thinking in your mind, oh, yeah, Rachel did have to do those things. No, Peter had to do it, too.
Peter, okay? Too. I'm talking
Peter
both.
Peter had to get the, her hands. They didn't show it, but at some point, both of her hands were up in Peter's hair, period. All right? That happened.
Yeah.
Right? How could it not? So, I mean, that you're right. A lot of work. You're not kidding. That's a multi-hour.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand how. So, on group dates, guys interrupt each other, right? How did no one, like, appear and be like, Peter, what the fuck? Are y'all two in the hot tub? Like, if I saw that, I'd leave the show. I'd be like, that's it.
Right.
If I'm Josiah, I'm like, or not Josiah, but, you know, Adam. Adam was on this date, okay? If I'm Adam and I see that, I'm like, oh, well, I'm just, give me the next flight out of here. It's obviously not happening with me.
If you remember last year, on The Bachelor with Nick and Corinne, when Corinne was like super handsy and super aggressive with him, that was nothing on this.
Nothing.
And people were ready to leave after that.
Wow.
Ugh, that was, came out of nowhere.
It was fucking hot. And Rachel requested it.
Yeah.
This wasn't like Peter, like, let's go in the hot tub. No. She's like, Peter was like, hey, let's learn more about each other. She's like, you want to learn more in the hot tub? And bing, bang, boom.
This is when I really realized I think Peter's going to win this show. I really do.
He's obviously he's still top three for me. He might be number one.
Yeah.
I picked him to win initially. I don't know what to think anymore, but man.
He's got the, you know, the intellectual talking side, but he's also got the same amount of chemistry physically as Brian does.
It's a good point.
It's the best. He has no flaws right now.
Best of both worlds. Well, the only flaw is every episode his hair seems to get grayer and grayer. I don't know. I mean, his hair was super gray this episode. When they were playing handball, if you go back and watch, it's 100% gray. But you're right. I mean, they got the physical down. It's the physical chemistry is... It took a rocket ship.
Yeah.
That said, Will gets the group date rose.
Mm-hmm. Don't sleep on Will.
Were you surprised by that?
You can't, if you want guys to stick around, you can't have a 3-hour group one-on-one with someone and then give them the rose too. Like, that's too much. Everyone would have walked off if she did that.
I'm with you. I think they probably talked about it, like her and Peter. Like,
yeah,
she probably was like,
she whispered in his ear.
Not just you're going to get a rose, but I'm not going to give you the group date rose here because it would be too fucking obvious.
Yeah. I can't. She said, I think you're going to be the winner. That's what she told him in the hot tub without the microphones, I'm sure.
Peter said, Peter putting on the show. He said, I'm having doubts about if I stand out. It's like, Peter, dog, you just went you had a fucking everyone's dream situation. All right, buddy, don't act like you're not here for the long haul. Like, Peter's worried you might not get it. Like, shut the fuck up, Peter. You're fine. All right, AB, well, we've been talking for basically an hour, and we haven't gotten to the Kenny and Lee 2-on-1. Should we talk about it? Do you think this is something that you and I should touch on, or should we skip it, or what do you think?
Let's dive right in.
So the 2-on-1, naturally, in the remote Norwegian wilderness, they take a helicopter because that's probably the only way you can get to the location of this 2-on-1. Rachel talks with Kenny first. Kenny seemed almost nervous, out of breath.
He probably thinks it's over for him. It's hard to come back from the lies Lee's been telling. His whole goal this date, You have to imagine it was just keeping it cool. So when he starts talking to Rachel, that's what he's trying to portray to her, you know, that he's not this monster that Lee's been trying to show him as.
He tells her the truth, maybe not the whole truth, but he does
pretty
tell
close.
Her the truth.
Yeah.
He says, I yelled at Lee. I called him a snake. I didn't hit him. And he also sprinkles in some good lines like, you know, he's looking for someone whose qualities he wants his daughter to emulate. You know, and that's a nice compliment. Like, if I were Rachel, I'd feel good about that. Like, be a role model for a young
Absolutely.
Lady. Rachel buys it, I think. You know, she says he's forthcoming. She says he thinks he's sincere, but she's got to talk to Lee. So she brings Lee up to, you know, the woods, I guess. And what do you got on Lee's... I'll call it whining sprinkled with lies. He's got some truth too, but he's also got some embellishments.
It's way farther away from the truth than Kenny's. Let's just put it that way. He acts like Kenny was gonna snatch him out of the car at one point.
I don't remember that. Do you
remember
that?
That didn't happen. I specifically watched for it in the second time I watched the episode. It didn't happen, at least on air. Maybe it did off air, but I can't imagine they wouldn't show that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if these things happen that he said happen, like, they would for sure be on TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what about when Lee's talking about how Kenny told him about his dark side that only comes out? Did that happen either? The dark side that comes out when he drinks?
No, he didn't say that.
I don't remember that at all.
No. He's just flat out making stuff up.
Boldface lies. Has Lee talked with Rachel about anyone or anything but Kenny since night one?
No.
That we've seen?
No.
No.
Nope. That's why neither of these two have a chance.
Neither Lee nor Kenny.
Yeah. Number one, if you go on a two-on-one, I wonder if anyone has ever gone on a two-on-one and went on to win the Bachelor or Bachelorette. I feel like the answer is probably no.
Probably. It's got to be. I'd be stunned if a two-on-one person.
You go on a two-on-one because you're in some bullshit with someone else and it's time to kick one of you off. But the second person, the one who won the two-on-one, will soon be gone after.
It's like time out with your sibling. Both of y'all are in trouble. Maybe one person started it. And, you know, you'll get out of timeout earlier, but both of y'all are in trouble.
Yeah.
You're both going to suffer consequences.
Yep.
And neither of you are the favorite daughter or son right now. So two big lies there. The pulling out of the van that we didn't see happen and the dark side discussion that we also didn't see happen. But he did mention a couple things that Lee or that Kenny neglected to mention, such as the bitch and such as shitting in the boots, which if I were Kenny, I wouldn't have brought that up either. Just hope that Lee didn't. Rachel's got to talk with Kenny again. Apparently, between the time that Lee and Rachel talked and Kenny and Rachel talked for the second time, apparently the temperature dropped like fucking the end of day after tomorrow.
Kenny is shivering.
They're both freezing cold. Luckily, Kenny's got on one of those leather jackets that has the cloth hoodie attached because he's cool dad from Kohl's. Rachel tells Kenny what Lee said. Kenny's appalled. He basically swears on his daughter, pretty much, that he's lying.
Yep.
I might have been reading too much into this, but the second time I watched this, it didn't seem like Rachel was questioning Kenny's story. It almost seemed like she was just doing him a favor, like, all right, Kenny, this is what Lee said. I don't believe him. Wink, wink. Like, do what you got to do. You know what I mean? I don't think she was like, I believe Lee and not your story. I think she was just giving him a heads up, like, this guy's lying, making shit up about you.
I think she was giving a heads up, but also I think she did want to lawyer Rachel him a little bit and see, you know, how he reacted, see if he gave any signs, you know.
See if she could catch him in a lot. She just wanted to confirm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and that's how it ended. We got Kenny heading back to Lee on the next episode of The Bachelorette. By the time you hear this recap, episode 2 of the 2-night extravaganza will have already aired. We apparently will be stunned by what happens, according to Chris Harrison. We're going to be shocked.
We're going to figure out why Kenny's bleeding.
Kenny, some people said it's producer nail polish. I think it's blood. I don't think Lee did anything. I don't think Lee does anything for him to acquire that blood. We don't see Lee in the previews, really, for next episode.
No, not a ton.
We got Kenny crying. We got Rachel crying. What do you think's going to happen?
I think Lee's going home, for sure. But then, prediction for you, Rim, I think Kenny's going home later in the episode.
Rim and AB, same wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
Lee's going home regardless.
Yeah.
I think Rachel is mostly using that date, whether it's the daytime part or the nighttime too. Like, it could be, didn't Nick do this? He sent someone home during the day in a two-on-one, mm-hmm. and then I don't remember who it was, but...
It was one of the Danielles.
That's right. I think Rachel's going to use that second part of the date to find out if she needs to send Kenny home too.
Yep.
I agree. I think she probably will, which sucks.
Really sucks.
Kenny never had a shot. Kenny wasn't going to win anyway because I just couldn't envision Rachel with choosing a guy with a 10-year-old daughter, a pro wrestler. You know what I mean? But he really never had a shot. The Chippendales, people forget that. He really never had a shot when Lee put him in this position.
No.
Lee sabotaged Kenny's time there because Kenny was forced to defend himself against the guy who knew exactly what buttons to press. Mm-hmm. And Kenny had to spend all this time with Rachel talking about Lee instead of them two. So he was doomed.
He would have made it. He could have made it a lot farther. He wouldn't have obviously won, but I think he could have made it a lot farther without Lee, the racist, being here.
Agreed.
What'd you think about the producers continuously setting them up where they'd be alone together? It was just them sitting with a bottle of whiskey.
Well, not only that, basically every roast ceremony, they stand by each other now.
Yeah. You know what it reminded me of, Rem? You ever seen that Heineken commercial where they put like people on opposite ends of the spectrum together in a room and then they give them a beer. And then it's like, oh, we're cool now. So it's like a, you know, you got a racist and then a person of a different race and they put them in a room, or it'll be like a, you know, a
super religious guy and a gay girl or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Or a, you know, a transgender person with someone who has said some inflammatory stuff about transgender people. That's what this reminds me of, except this is what would actually happen in that scenario.
So that's a good segue, AB. A lot of folks in Bachelor Nation, I'll say, have had a big problem with the way these last few episodes have been positioned.
Yep.
I see a lot of articles and a lot of headlines about this episode in particular and last episode that were like, this is uncomfortable. They should be ashamed of themselves for exploiting race for ratings. That's kind of the overarching sin that people want to harp on.
Yeah.
They think ABC and The Bachelor, Bachelorette are exploiting race for ratings, and they feel terrible for Rachel, the first Black Bachelorette, that she has to deal with this. Okay? On paper, that all makes sense.
Yep.
I got two things, and maybe you disagree. No. Keep in mind, I'm the white guy here. But number one, I don't think it's that overt. I don't think they're really if they really wanted to exploit race for ratings, they can make it a lot more obvious and incendiary than they are. I think it's kind of under the surface. They're kind of dancing around it.
I agree.
Okay. Second, I personally, this is going to sound bad, but let me hear me out. I don't really have I don't have an issue with this, AB. Okay. In my eyes, so people wanted, for years and years and years, people saw the show, and it was a bunch of white people, and they all looked the same. People wanted this show to more accurately reflect society, right? Would you agree that
Absolutely.
People?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, guess what, folks? Like, this is society.
Yeah.
In my eyes, and I'll let you rebut all this, in my eyes, I think it's better to shine a light on someone like Lee and expose him.
Expose him!
Expose him! Rather than sweep it under the rug and act like it doesn't exist, okay? A sub point of that, there are a lot of people who probably watch the show and think, well, Lee doesn't say the N-word, he's not racist, or he's being nice to some of these black guys, he's not racist. And I think that this storyline is an opportunity for the show to... And again, like, I'm not saying that ABC and The Bachelorette are, you know, pure of heart and with all their intentions here, but I think it's better to say, like, hey, look at this guy who's, you know, playing up racial stereotypes to his advantage. It's not racism book definition like you think about, you know what I mean? He's not like, I'm not talking to these guys. It's some different, subtler forms. I think that's important to show people, like, hey, this person is like this. There's a lot of people like this. It's 2017. This still exists. Rather than acting like it's fucking hunky-dory, happy-go-lucky out there. What do you think, AB?
Rim, I'm 100% with you. 100%. Listen. Now... Well, 95%.
Okay, cool.
I think it is. ABC's not on the up and up here. Like, they deserve a lot of blame because they clearly brought this guy on specifically to do this.
Yes.
But now that he's on, racism in general is tough to watch. But it doesn't mean we should avoid it. That's kind of why racism, part of the reason racism still exists the way it does today, you know, because people are afraid to talk about it. It's super uncomfortable. People are probably uncomfortable listening to this podcast right now.
Yeah.
But it's good to open that up. And then, like you said, It's not the in-your-face racism this time. I mean, his tweets are, but the stuff he's saying on the screen, it's not in-your-face racism, but it is racism, and it's, I think it's good for people to see it.
Agreed. ABC's shitty for bringing him on.
Yeah.
We agree there. But now that he's on, like you said, I would rather they... Why sweep it under the rug? It sucks that Rachel has to deal with it, but again, I feel like you can't just act like it doesn't exist. And I think that would be a mistake on their part to do this with this guy on the show and act like everything's fine.
Yeah. Same page.
Okay. Folks, now that that's out of the way, there is one off-screen thing that I want to talk about. Now, I understand that people watch the show. I'm one of these
Brian.
People.
Brian juice, huh?
Brian juice. We're going to talk about some. We're going
to
talk about some Brian juice. It's not exactly a spoiler, but I want to give you the opportunity because I know a lot of people watch the show and don't like to dig into the backgrounds because they feel it might, you know, hint at something that might or might not happen in the show.
Sure.
So, if you don't want to hear Brian juice, go ahead and stop the podcast now. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Follow on Twitter, RoseCastES, and Stitcher also, or if you can't do either of those on your mobile device, 8screens.com. Leave a review, give us some feedback, all the good stuff. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Now, for those of you who want to hear the Brian juice.
Let's get to the good shit, Rim.
Okay, so I sent out a tweet from the RoseCastES Twitter account last night about how Brian... It's too good to be true, and I, you know, jokingly, like, what's wrong with this guy? Like, has he killed people? Blah, blah, blah. It was a joke. The Twitter user, Yvonne, tipped me off to something that Brian's got going on in his past. The first thing is that he has been sued, and we won't go into a ton of detail. We just want to bring it to light. He's been sued for insurance fraud as part of his practice. And this was, I think the case was either settled or dismissed, like, March of this year. So that's a recent thing.
Okay.
Not good. Okay. I mean, some people see chiropractic, which is what he is, a chiropractor, as quackery anyway, and legal trouble, insurance fraud, and you're trying to marry the lawyer, Rachel. Surprised by that?
No, I actually did know this. I'd saw this before. Just okay. Decided not to bring it up.
Okay.
Because I think there were multiple people with, like, some stuff like this.
I saw one that was like Dean had a fake ID when he was underage. I was like, I don't care about that at all.
No one gives a shit about that. Yeah, I did know about this. He's obviously, something's there.
He's sleazy.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, I don't want to judge. Any of our listeners live down there, no disrespect. But Miami chiropractor is a sleazy... Like, Days of Our Lives, yeah. Occupation, and background. Like, you probably are up to no good.
Yeah, so I think I saw this before the season started, so I didn't know anything about him. And it was like a list of things that, you know, people on the cast have had. And I just forgot about it. I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay, so we'll see where that goes. I can't imagine Rachel would be happy to find that out.
No.
The second thing, and maybe something you're not aware of, is he was on a reality show... In 2004.
Four?
So he would have been, he would have been 24. A reality show called The Player.
Okay.
On UPN.
My channel.
it went out of business like in 2006. So, but I don't know what the show's about. All I know is I've seen the opening credits. He looks fucking young, and he's got a lot of hair, and he looks like a douche, and him and a bunch of other players are in Miami, and I think they're trying to, like, woo some scantily clad women. I mean, kind of an embarrassing, not like so much, oh, Brian's a sleazeball, but just kind of embarrassing that he was on this show.
If he's on a show called The Player, I'd say that he's a sleazeball.
Okay, all that's right. Fair. He's 24. It was 13 years ago. You know, we were minors when this came out. So anyway, that's a Brian juice. So he's not perfect. There's no bombshells here, but I think it's going to be, I think, you know, the reputation will get chipped away a little bit as time goes on here.
So I just watched it. I just watched the clip.
What do you think? I'll play the music. The music is so funny.
You need to play the music because it's so funny.
Like, it'll make you think less of Brian just hearing the intro the music, theme to this song.
The intro theme to this show. But yeah, Brian looks completely different. He's got long hair, earrings.
He's doing like kissy face.
Yeah, wow.
Bad. Yeah. Embarrassing.
Wow. That's good juice.
It's good juice. I mean, he's a douche. The guy's a sleazeball. We knew it. He's going to go real far in this show, but anyway. Okay, for those of you that wanted to hear the sleaze, that's it. Hopefully it lived up to the hype. Probably not.
The player thing, that one did it for me.
Yeah, so shout out to Yvonne on Twitter. If you don't follow us on Twitter, please do. RoseCastES. And yeah, that's all we got. This is a long episode. Here's the plan. This is going to drop on Wednesday, hopefully Wednesday morning. But, you know, we got episode 2 of the Two-Night Extravaganza starting up shortly here. So we're going to have to crank it out.
Boys are working overtime this week.
Man, it's like finals week.
Yeah,
it's like I'm just not sleeping. It's bachelor all day and bachelor all night. Anyway, thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff. AB, do we have any special promotions going on this week? Or
yeah, Rim, it actually just started for a friend week.
Refer a friend week. I've heard about this. Yeah, okay, cool. Yep. So I think what that is, people just, if they like it, they just refer a friend and that's it.
Yeah, they just tell their friends to listen to it. Yeah. And then they get nothing.
It sounds like a fun, interactive way to go about your podcast, the Spreader podcast. Anyway, no, thank you very much for listening. And hey, guess what? We're going to talk to you tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.